All right. Good morning, Calvary and Graceway Church. Morning. What? The, I didn't. Nothing. I said good morning. Come on. I was thinking about doing the thing where I start with Calvary and then great and see who can be louder or something like that, but it might not be the right environment for that. Okay, so this morning we've got Graceway here leading church today, so this will be exciting, leading the service. As always, I'm just going to briefly go over some of these announcements. We got a happy birthday to Polly Michael, and that's on the 9th, and then D. Elliott's was on 10:30, so make sure to wish them a happy birthday. As always, if you're interested in our adult Bible study, that's out 9:30 a.m. every Sunday prior to church starting. And okay, you can see our little Sunday event schedule. The difference currently is today there will be no choir practice and no evening service. Let me see, that might be all I have to say. Oh, yeah, as always, this is the month for the Harlan Christian Youth Center, so if you have any food or things like that, you can see. What's that room called? What's the technical room for that? The foyer. Okay, yeah, the foyer. If you have anything, bring it and leave it there, and then Rick takes it over to the Harlan Christian Youth Center. So, yeah, I think that's it.
Need this or you just...
No, I'm good. David, so thank you for being with us today in this combined worship service. I hope you're excited about being here today. Amen? Amen. It's always good to be here. A couple announcements for the Graceway folks. Just one for our offering, because we don't have our offering box. If you will, see Jim Baxter back there waving his hand, and he'll be able to help us out there. But just a couple announcements. Next Saturday, we have our chili cook-off, which is always a fun time, and somebody will go away with the golden ladle, right? You get the golden ladle if you make the best chili. And so that's always a great time. It'll be out at Jonathan and Terry's house. And by the way, folks from Calvary, you're welcome to come and join us and have some chili and fellowship. There's always plenty of food, hot dogs, and all those things. Bring a chair, dress warm, bring a blanket. It'll be a good time. And so you're welcome to do that. Also, as we're looking toward the Operation Christmas Child for our folks, you can look at your newsletter, which is why we send that out. So do look at your newsletter. There's a link on there that has all the gifts that are good for that. Also today I have a thing about how to pack the box. So next Sunday as we meet back at Cruz Plaza, we'll have all the boxes, all those things ready for you. And so just so you're aware of that. But if you have any questions, certainly come and talk to me and I'll answer them best as I can. I want to start with a piece of scripture today out of the book of Psalms, Psalm 16. And verse number 11, David is writing here, and he's really talking about the victory that is coming and the Messiah, the Lord himself. But if we look there just for a minute as we open up the service, he makes a statement. He said in verse number 11, he says, "You will show me the path of life." He says, "In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And as you go through that psalm, Psalm chapter 16, it's just a great reminder of God's presence in our life. I mean, that's important. I don't know about you, but aren't you glad that we can walk through life and have the presence of God with us? That He would never leave us, that He would never forsake us, that He would be there for us. And I'm grateful because He is our hope. He is our hope. He is our help in time of need. And so I'm grateful today that we have this, our God that we can lean on, that He'll direct our paths. He'll show us the path of life. I don't know about you. Have you ever come to the wrong crossroad? Taken a wrong turn? He'll show us. He'll direct us. He'll help us make decisions. Not only that, but in His presence, there's a fullness of joy. There's something great about being in the presence of God and His people. The joy, the rest that He brings. We're going to find that a little bit later in the service today. And so as we come to Him today, let's pray together and trust Him as we stand and worship in His presence. Can we pray together? Lord, we come to You today with grateful hearts to be able to worship You today. And Father, we praise You that You are our anchor, that you are our help in time of need. And Father, we praise you today that you are our hope. And because of your sovereignty, how you order our steps, we trust you today. And Father, we also know that there are times when we need to surrender our fears about the future, surrender our fears about what's coming up next. And Lord, we confess to you today that sometimes we get off track when we try to take control of our lives and do it our own way. And so may we listen to you even today. And so God, would you help us? Would you help us on this day? Would you help us as we look toward the future? God, we trust you. And we can trust you because of the promise of your presence. So would you be with us today? Would you be honored today? Because you are our hope. We trust in you. Be honored in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let's stand together with the worship team.
Amen. Yes, it is our joy to worship with you today. We're so thankful for this opportunity. And we're going to start with a first song about being free. Because of Christ, what he's done, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You've been set free from the law, sin, and death. So we're excited to worship, and let's proclaim that message. Worship and glory and honor to you. Amen. joy to worship you, Lord.
There's never been anyone like you, God. There's never been anyone like you, God. No one above you, no one beside you. There's never been anyone like you, God. There's never been anyone like you, God. There's never been anyone like you, God. You are the highest, you are the greatest.
Singing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, this opportunity to gather in your name, in your place, and in your presence. Father, we know you're here among us. You promised us that. And we just thank you for all the music this morning, Father, for the people that we have. We have a wonderful group, a large group, and we appreciate that. And we are thankful to be part of the fellowship with them this morning. We pray that your name will be lifted up and that our hearts will be touched by the message that you have for us this morning. And we want to pray for the offering this morning that we're about to give. And we ask that you bless the offering, use it to your will and your purpose. We pray for those who are able to give. We ask a blessing for them, and especially ask a blessing for those who aren't, that you are seeing that all their needs are met, Father. And we just ought to offer this all to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Absolutely beautiful. That's the gift, isn't it? The blood of Jesus that will never lose its power. Would you stand with us? Unless it's more comfortable, easier for you to sit, please feel comfortable to sit. We're going to sing Amazing Grace, and what a perfect song to prelude Amazing Grace. That's the blood of Jesus. That's his grace that covers us. By his grace, we have life, we have hope, we have joy. Let's sing together.
Sweet the sound that
beautiful name we have in Jesus. You were the Word of the beginning, one with God.
Name it is the name of Jesus.
powerful name. It is the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God, you raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Lord, it's been a joy to worship together, to exalt your name, to praise your name. Now we thank you that as we stand here and as we sit, we hear your word proclaimed and we have fellowship together. It's all for you, Jesus. We pray for Pastor Dave right now as he comes, that his words would be your words and that you would just receive all the glory and praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Thanks for joining us today. I am Pastor Dave and I am pastor over at Graceway Church. And we're thankful for the opportunity for the joint worship service. Thank you, Pastor Mike, for allowing us to come together and worship together. It's been good so far. Amen. Yeah. I like you to say amen, by the way, as I speak. It helps me to keep right along, and my people know this. I say this all the time, that if you will cheer me on and say amen, it makes me preach faster. You get out earlier, but that's not true. But nonetheless, we're glad that you're here and thankful. We're going to be in the book of Exodus, chapter 33. We'll look at a few verses in chapter 32 this morning. If you want to go ahead and turn there, as we look to the future and perhaps a future together, as we talk about maybe a merger down the road, and we're looking to see, hey, what does God have for us? Here's what I want you to know, just to dive right into that, is this. Number one is we want to honor God in all that we do. Amen. We want to honor God. Whatever that next step looks like, we want to honor him. And number two, we want to make sure we stay on mission to reach people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we can do that if we have our mind focused on him. But have you ever thought you knew how to do something, or that you were going to do something, and it didn't quite work out how you thought it would? That ever happened to anybody? Like, you knew, like this week we had some car trouble on my wife's car, and just a minor thing. We got ready to go somewhere, and we got in the car, and you know that I hate that you have to have those key fobs anymore. I just like the old fashioned key, stick it in, start it up. But nonetheless, we get in the car and the car won't start, and it says it doesn't identify the key fob. All right, well, that stinks. Because I can't like stick that in there and crank it up, right? And so I go to the other, I got the other key fob, and I come out and I get the other key fob, and I get in the car, and I get in there, and it says it again for both key fobs. And so I spend half the afternoon on YouTube, right, trying to look it up. What do I do to fix this thing? And I'm holding it on the button. I went and I bought new batteries for the key fobs. I did all of those things. And my wife says, why don't you just change the battery in the car? And I'm like, you're not a mechanic. I mean, I grew up on a junkyard. I know these things. And I'm like, I'm not going down and buying a $200 battery. Just, you know, I'm going to figure this thing out. And so I texted my friend who worked at the dealership, and I'm asking. He goes, oh, that's a common problem. And he tells me, check this, check this. I'm like, I did that, I did that, I did that, I did that. And then he says, maybe you need a new car battery. I'm like, I cannot say that to my wife, right? I cannot do that. And so I'm like, I just ran out of options. And so finally, I had to go buy a battery. And guess what? It started right up. Doggone it. Don't you hate that when it happens? And it just didn't go the way I thought it would. When we come to Exodus chapter 32, 33, and actually the chapters before that, what we find is God is leading the children of Israel to the promised land. In fact, the previous chapters to chapter 33, we're going to find that Moses is up on Mount Sinai and he's hearing from God, and God is giving him the law, and God's giving him direction for the days ahead. That has to be an exciting time, right? When you get direction from God. Amen. I mean, the smoke there, the cloud, everything that was there that represented the presence of God. In fact, if I remember right, the cloud that was there, the presence of God that was around there, there was rumblings, right? There was things where the children of Israel could know that God was indeed meeting with Moses and that this thing was legit. It was happening. But it just seemed like things weren't working out how they anticipated. I don't know about you, but they were probably like me driving down the highway. You just want to get from point A to point B as fast as you can, right? I mean, that's a man thing, is it not? Right? And so Moses is gone for perhaps a little bit longer than they anticipated. And so sure enough, while they're gone, the people get uneasy. And if we go back, we'll read and we'll find out that, you remember they came to Aaron and Aaron began to fashion a golden calf. You remember that? He fashions this golden calf. They're down there. They're dancing around this golden calf. They're worshiping this idol. And so the Lord sees this. The Lord knows this. And so he says to Moses there in chapter 32, verse 9 and 10, he comes back and he says to him, he says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'I've seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people.' He says, 'Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and will make them make of you a great nation.'" So God's like, all right, I've had it with these people. Have you ever been there? I've had it. My mom would say, I've had it up to here, right? I don't know what here was, but she had it there all the time. And God's like, I've had it. Like, this is it. And what we find is Moses begins to intercede for the people of Israel. And Lord, don't do that. I mean, if you wipe them out, who's going to be the people? Who are going to be the people of God that you have made this promise to? And so Moses intercedes. In verse 14, we see there it says, "So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people." The Lord said, okay, I'll hold off. I'll hold off. I'm not going to go ahead and give my wrath to them. I'm going to back up just a little bit. And that's kind of what Moses wanted. And this isn't up on the screen, but I love this because the Lord already knew what was going on down there. Moses didn't know that yet. And so as Moses and Joshua and the group begin to come back down the mountain, they begin to hear all the noise, right? They begin to see all the stuff that's happening. They begin to wonder. And then when they get there, they find out that here's Aaron, his own brother of his own family, the tribal leader. He's leading these people into worshiping an idol. And I love this because you remember, just a little while ago, Moses is interceding for the people of Israel. The Bible says that the Lord's anger waxed hot. But then when we get to verse 19, which is not on the screen, but it says, "So it was as soon as he came down, Moses, to the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing." I love this. And so Moses' anger became hot and he cast the tablets out of his hand and he broke them at the foot of the mountain. Isn't it funny? Moses saying, "Lord, just hold on. Just Lord, I don't get too angry." And then Moses comes down. What does he do? He's angry. He gets fired up. He throws the tablets down. He breaks them. And man, it's just a mess down there. And so why was it a mess? What happened that created that mess? I'll tell you what happened. They got restless waiting for God. God wasn't moving fast enough for them. And so they began to come up with a plan that they thought might be better. Have you ever done that? Have you ever come up with a plan? I'm horrible, but I'm really good at it. Like I have plan A and plan B and plan C and D. And I just plan to fail, right? I keep making up plans. And isn't it good if we just trust God first? And that's what he's wanting. And so Moses draws a line in the sand, basically, and he says, whoever's on the Lord's side, let's come on, let's go. Let's go. That day, 3,000 people died, and they crushed that idol. They made it into ashes. They put it into water, and everybody drank. There was a plague. All of those things that happened because people were tired of waiting on God. This morning, I want to talk to you about the promise of God's presence. He's promised his presence. Aren't you glad for that? Can we pray with him one more time? Lord, we thank you again this day for the opportunity to gather together, to hear your word. And God, we need to hear from you. There's so much noise in the world around this time. And so we just need to know that you would speak to us through your word today. So God, would you honor your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I want to point out to you four things, because when we get to chapter 33, Moses is meeting with God again. He's having this intimate time, this intimate conversation, and he's like, God, is this real? Have you ever wondered, God, is this the right direction? Anybody ever wondered that? God, am I making the right decision? And that's what Moses is going through. It's like, God, you called me to lead these people, but they are a stiff-necked people. Do you know those people? Maybe they live in your house. Lord, they're just not doing it the way I want, you know. It's like, Lord, they're not following. They're not heeding the direction. And so here's what we're going to pick up the conversation in verse number 12. And the first thing I want you to notice here, as we have an outline, is Moses makes this petition. He requests the grace of God. Look with me in verse number 12. It says, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have found grace, also found grace in my sight. He says, now, therefore, I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider this nation is your people. And so Moses makes this bold request to the Lord. He's like, Lord, you've been telling me to lead these people, but you've not let me know. Who are you going to send with me? Who's going to help me along the way? God, this is a big responsibility. It wasn't enough, though, that God would say, here, I'm sending you to the promised land. I'm giving you this incredible place that I'm laying before you. It's not enough that God would lead Moses and the children of Israel to the promised land. The Lord had promised him back in verse number 2 of chapter 33, he would send an angel before him. And so Moses is pressing God. He wants to know, God, who's going to go with me into, who's going to lead, who's going to help as we go into the promised land? Because here's the reality. The promised land would mean very little without the presence of God. It would mean very little. And so Moses comes boldly before the throne of God's grace, and he makes this big request. And so what we find here is that Moses says, Lord, would you give us your grace? If I've found grace in your sight, God, give me your grace. And if I've found grace in your sight, God, give me or show me your way that we'll know you. I mean, why did he want God's grace to follow his way? I mean, that's what he says, that I may know you. God, give me your grace that I might follow your way. Why? That I might know you. Give me that grace. And so Moses is obsessed with getting to know God. And over in that verse number 13, again, you notice that he says, if I found grace in your sight, God, show me your way. God, that I may know you. God, that I might find grace again in your sight, that you might consider this nation your people. God, it's really all about you at the end of the day. Amen. It's all about you. And so Moses makes this request. And so there's a big difference. And I think Moses realizes this, that there's a big difference between knowing God and knowing about God. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, God knew Moses and the people of Israel. He knew them well. He knew them by name. But Moses says, God, I need your grace. I need to follow your way that I might know you. And I find out that when people know God, here's what happens. It begins to change their lives. If we have a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he begins to change our lives. He begins to change our behavior. He begins to change the way we act, the way we think, all of those things. It changes things. It changes our culture. It changes our family. It changes us individually. It changes our churches, and it can change our nation. I mean, Moses knew that the hope from Israel was not in getting into the promised land. The hope for Israel is that they would know the Lord Jehovah and that God would change the hearts of his people. Most people today who claim to be Christians, I'm afraid they're more acquainted with God than that they really know God, right? I mean, there are people who know God. This is what the people who really know God, you know why they know him? Because they spend time with him. They don't just show up occasionally. They don't just pray occasionally. They don't just read their Bible occasionally. They don't just witness to other people occasionally. They spend time. They just live that way. That's just what they do. And so here's this petition that Moses makes before God. God, listen, God, would you give us your grace that we might know your way? God, that we might know you, because our hope is in you. That's where our hope is today, church. Our hope is in Christ Jesus. Not only does he request and make this petition, but the second thing I would point out this morning is the presence there, that we need to recognize our need. Recognize our need. In verse number 14, as he continues on, he says, and then he says, the Lord's responding, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And then he said, this is Moses responding, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. I love that the Lord answers the petition that Moses has. He's like, I'll be there. My presence is going to go with you. Isn't that good words from the Lord? Amen. That I'm going to go with you. The Lord promised his presence in a pillar of a cloud that would be there with them. He promised his presence that he would be with them all the way to the promised land. And so the greatest need for the children of Israel was not the promised land. The greatest need for the children of Israel was the presence of God. Because without the presence of God, the promised land would be nothing. And so it's in his presence. It's in his presence that we find his protection, his provision, right? And in his presence, we find his power as he begins to work. And so it's in the presence of God that they begin, as he says, they find rest. And so when he says they find rest, let me make this clear. Finding rest doesn't mean there's no problems in life. There's still going to be bumps along the way. There's still going to be difficult times that we journey through along the way. But in the midst of it, we can have peace. Amen. A peace that passes all understanding. Aren't you glad for that? And so Moses goes on boldly and he approaches the Lord God. And God promised his presence. And so Moses responds, this great response. Moses says, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't bring us up from here. God, if you're not going to go forward with us, just don't let us move. Let us stay right. God, don't let us go forward. Lord, if you're not going to go, don't let us move from this place. Don't let us go forward. And so the greatest need that Moses and the children of Israel had, again, they needed the presence of God. It was the presence of God that would bring his protection. It was the presence of God that they would have provision. It was in the presence of God that they would see the mighty power of God at work. It was in the presence of God that they would get to know God. Amen. You know how you get to know someone? You hang out with them, right? Amen. Hey, we're going to have dinner after this service. Guess what? You have an opportunity to get to know people you don't know. How are you going to do that? You're going to sit with somebody you don't know. You're going to hang out with people you don't know. Why? So you can get to know them. And so that's the way we get to know God. We hang out with him. We trust him. And so it's because of the grace of God that they could follow his way, that they could walk in obedience to the Lord. And can I say to you today, dear churches, believers, we have the same promise from God. And according to the book of Hebrews, that he would never leave us. He would never forsake us. Aren't you glad for that? I mean, the issue today and the problems that we face today, it's not because God has left us. Perhaps it's because we've left God. Perhaps it's because we've resisted the grace of God. We've resisted the Word of God. We've resisted the Holy Spirit of God. And so I would say to you today that the greatest need for our churches across the land today is not necessarily perhaps a merger, not necessarily bigger buildings or bigger congregations and all of those things. I think the greatest need, church, today is this morning, is that we need the presence of God. I mean, we know how to have church, amen? We've been having church so long, we can have church without even blinking an eye anymore, right? I mean, we know how to have church. We have an order of service. I got one right here that I printed up. And so it's like, hey, we're going to have church. We're going to do this, this, this. We're going to sing. We're going to have an offering. We're going to make announcements. We're going to do all of these things. And if we're not careful, what we do is we program God right out of the church. And so our greatest need is not buildings and budgets and butts in the seat, if you will. Our greatest need is the presence of God. that God, you would meet with us. That God, your Holy Spirit would come down and revive your people. That the Holy Spirit would begin to work in ways that we could never imagine, think, or hope for. I mean, the unbelievable presence of a holy God, you think about it. That he would respond to his grace, that he might give us his grace, that we might follow his way. Listen, he said that he would give us grace, that we would follow whose way? His way. And you know what I find out often? His way is not my way. His ways are higher than my ways. How about you? Amen. It's not, and so sometimes when God begins to work and God begins to move and God begins to bring his presence along, he has a plan, and we would do well just to jump in on his plan. Amen. So he says, listen, I'll give you the grace if you'll follow my way that you might know me. Listen, church, our prayer this morning ought to be, Lord, I don't know what the days are ahead, but if your presence doesn't go with us, don't bring us up from here. Lord, please don't let us go forward unless it's with you. I think the biggest troubles I've ever faced in life is not because he left me, but because I left him. Because I did my own thing. I had my own plan. And here's what I find. When God gives us the grace to follow his way, it's not always easy. It's not always easy. In fact, Jesus told us, we know in our grace way that we've been going through the Gospel of Luke, we know that Jesus said, if you follow me, there's going to be some difficulties. You're going to have to take up your cross and follow me. There's people that are going to hate you. They're going to despise you. They're not going to like you. And so I would just say to you, dear church, today, as we contemplate what does the future look like, more than anything that we need the presence of God. Why? That we might be able to have the grace of God, that we might be able to follow the ways of God, knowing that it's going to be difficult along the way. There's going to be bumps along the way, but at the end of the day, that we might know him better, that we might have the presence of God in our lives. And what we're going to find out a little bit later is the reason Moses wanted to have the presence of God was because how in the world would the rest of the world know who the people of God were without the presence of God? And so that's where he gets to, and that comes to the purpose. Look at this. Number three, the purpose was to reflect his glory. Reflect his glory. Back in verse number 15, I'm going to read that, and then we'll come into verse 16. Remember, Moses responds and he says, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't bring us up from here. And then he says this. He says, for how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except that you go with us? And so we shall separate, he says, your people and I from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. And so here's Moses. He responds to the Lord. Lord, if you're not going to go with us, how are all the other people, how are we going to be different from the rest of the people in all the world? It's almost like a rhetorical question for God. And so Moses sees this importance of God's people reflecting the glory of God. It's like, Lord, if you're not going to go with us, how are we going to be identified from the rest of the world? Or how are we going to be different from the rest of the world? How are we going to make you known to the rest of the world if we don't have your grace? Lord, if we don't have your grace and we're not following your way, God, how are we going to fulfill the responsibilities that you've given us as the people of God if you don't go with us? And so Moses wanted God. He wanted God to confirm that he had called him to lead the children of Israel. He wanted him to confirm that he would be with them as God's chosen people. And Moses understood that the people of God ought to be different. Amen. The people of God ought to be separated. They ought to be set apart. They ought to be identified, if you will, as different from the rest of the world. So the question this morning is, how would the world know that they were God's chosen people? I'll tell you how the world would know that they were God's chosen people. Because God would, what? God would give them His grace. Why? That they might follow His way. That they might know Him. That they might have evidence in their life. That they walk with Him. That they reflect His glory to other nations. And can I say to you today, dear church, as people of God, listen, we have a responsibility to reflect the glory of God. Amen? We have a responsibility that the world might see Him through us as He gives us His grace, as we follow His way, that we might know Him. I mean, the reason that God gives us His grace to follow Him is because we can't please Him in our own strength. We can't do it. There's nothing that we can do to please Him in our own strength. And so the Bible declares and reminds us this, and that we're all sinners. We're all sinners. Isn't that true? The Bible declares there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible declares in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I love it that the Bible doesn't stop there, that even though we're sinners, God still loved us. In Romans 5, verse number 8, the Bible reminds us that God demonstrated His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. I love that verse. Amen? That while we were sinners, while we couldn't do it all ourselves, that Christ came and He died for us. That's what John 3:16 is all about. Look at it on the screen. For God, what? So loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, what? Should not perish but have everlasting life. He's reminding us there's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. There's nothing you can do to gain entrance into heaven. Why? Because we're sinners. But yet God made a way in His grace. Aren't you glad for that? The Bible says in Romans 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. Death, separation from God in hell. The wages of sin is death. What sin has earned us is death, separation from God. But there's good news in the second half of the verse, right? But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He gives us eternal life. That's good news. He gives us this gift. How do we receive that gift? Well, good news is He tells us, right? In verse 10 of chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, He says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, right? He says, you will be saved. Not might be, not hope to be, you will be. He says, for with the heart one believes in the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. There are a lot of people who talk about God, but there aren't many people who have been changed by God. So it's not enough to just say, I believe. It's putting our faith in Him. In fact, in chapter 10 and verse number 13, He says there that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whoever, wherever you come from, whatever your background is, whatever your baggage is, whoever, amen? That includes you. That includes me. If we put our faith in Him, He'll save us. Why? Listen, He'll give us the grace to trust Him. He'll give us the grace to follow His way. And so we can place our faith in Christ today. We can have a new relationship with the Lord. We can become a new creation in Christ Jesus. In fact, that's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what? He is a new creation. What happens? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God changes us from the inside out. I mean, that's how a person gets saved. It's not because of what we do. That's what Ephesians tells us in chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, right? The Bible declares, therefore, by grace you've been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, right? It's not anything that we've done. What is it? It's the gift of God. It's not of works. We don't have anything to boast, lest any man can boast. Why does He change us? How does He change us? I'll tell you, He does it by His grace. He gives us grace. Grace, unmerited favor, something we don't deserve. He gives us this grace. Why? That we might follow His way, because we can't do it in our own strength. Why? That we might get to know Him. And when we get to know Him, He begins to shape us and conform us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I would say to you today, dear church, as believers, we have a responsibility to the world around us to reflect the glory of God if we put our faith in Him. How in the world are we going to make known to the world a God if we don't know the God that we serve? How are we going to make known to the rest of the world that there's hope in Christ if we don't live our lives in Christ? How are we going to show them that it's worth the effort, it's worth the energy, it's worth all that we sacrifice for to follow after Christ, to get to know Him because of the blessing that comes with that? We're to be separated from the world. That's what Moses was talking about. And can I be clear to you today? Being separated to the world just means we're set apart, right? We're set apart from the world. We're set apart unto God. When he talks about being separated, he's not talking about, hey, let's be mean, let's be ugly, let's be... And that's not what he's talking about, amen? We need to demonstrate the love of God. We need to reflect the glory of God. In fact, in Matthew, Jesus said this. He said, you are the light of the world. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. He says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. He said, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And then he says in verse number 16, let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. God gives us grace to follow His way that we might know Him, that we might shine the light of the gospel to the rest of the world, that we might be able to reflect His glory, that we might be able to share the hope that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, well, Pastor Dave, what do we do with that? I'll give you the last point, which is really the conclusion. There's a promise here, and really we come back to the prayer. We need to rely on the Word of God. Amen. Rely on the Word of God. It doesn't matter how you feel, I feel. It doesn't matter. Let's go back to the Word of God. And God makes this promise again to Moses, one that he could rely on. In verse number 17, he says, so the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Here it is. He's made this promise. Moses has learned that he could trust God. God's saying, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to have my presence. And so he goes on and he begins this trip, if you will, with God. That's not a trip, a journey to the promised land. It's a restoration of a relationship. It's a rescue. It's God working in an amazing way along the way to restore those relationships. And what Moses saw is that he could trust God. Can I say to you, dear church, if you've been saved any amount of time, if you're still breathing, and hopefully you are by the end of the message, listen, God's been good to you. Amen. We can trust Him. Why? Because He's been faithful through all the years before now. He's faithful. And so we can trust Him. And He says, you found grace in my sight and I know you by name. How did this happen? Because God gave Moses grace to follow His way. And so Moses, this interceder, keeps interceding for his people. I just wonder today what would happen to our country if the people of God began to intercede for our nation. I wonder what would happen. You know, we're about to have an election this coming week to determine who's going to be sitting in the White House for the future. I just want you to know the hope for America is not in the White House. Amen. It's in the church house. It's in the people of God. The hope for America and the rest of the world to be found in the people of God. What people of God? The people of God who have experienced the grace of God. The people of God who are following after God. The people of God who know God, who reflect His glory to the rest of the world. Now, do we need transformation in our politics? Absolutely. But the transformation we need is not a political agenda. It's a spiritual agenda. There's hope. And we can trust His promises. He's faithful. I said that was the last one, but you'll have to let me have you one more. Participation. How do we respond? How do we respond? How do we pray? What do we do with this? It goes back to verse 15, and Moses responds, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't bring us up from here. Lord, if you're not going to go with us, don't let us move forward. God, don't let us keep going if your presence doesn't go with us. And so there's this expectation, though. There's this expectation of participation that the people of God are going to participate with God when He shows up. I mean, the mission is important. So he wants them to honor God. He wants them to stay on mission. If you'll trust me, I'll give you the grace. God's saying, if you trust me, I'll show you the way. I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the power. I'll give you the provision. I'll give you everything you need. And so what God is saying, he's not looking for us to perform. There are a lot of people who just try to perform. He's not asking us to just pretend it's all okay all day. He's not saying that. We need God's grace to participate in his mission. Listen, church, if we're going to move forward, I'll tell you what we need. We need the grace of God. We need the presence of God. We need the power of God. Why? Because we can't do it on our own. For without him, we can do what? Nothing. Nothing. And so, church, as we consider what the future might look like, even as one body, if we consider that, the first thing that we need more than anything else today is the presence of God. We need his presence. Because in his presence, we find protection. In his presence, we find provision. In his presence, we find his power. So, Lord, we need you. As individuals, God, we need you. God, as families, we need you. God, as a church, we need you. God, as a nation, we need you. Because what good is all the stuff without the presence of God? The hope of the world is in Christ and Christ alone. And so we're to reflect his glory. And so our response to his grace today, we ought to cry out like Moses, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't move us forward from this place. Listen. All of this is that we might move forward in action. How? Trusting God for his grace. That we might honor him. That we might stay on track. That we might follow his way. That we might stay on mission. I wonder today if we might join ourselves together in prayer. Can we pray together? Lord, we come to you today and we are grateful. We're grateful that we've had the opportunity to worship you together this morning. It's been good. But Father, more than anything else today, we need your presence. May we not take it lightly. And so God, as we gather as one people today, we gather as people who need you. And I wonder today, God, if we could humble ourselves to admit that. That God, we need to give you control of our lives rather than us being in control. That we trust you, God, to lead our family. We trust you to lead our church. Would you help us be honest with you today, God? I pray that we would be. I wonder today, church, as we look to the future, as we try to figure out, God, what's the next step? I wonder if we might be able to pray together. And so I'm going to ask you to stand. Would you do that? And I wonder what a response would be today. Maybe as we think about what a potential merger looks like. As we think about that, we need God's presence. I want to invite you, if you want to come down, I would invite you to join me. Would you do that? Could we pray together? I mean, at Graceway, we don't have enough room to even have a place for people to respond, so I'm thankful today that we have that. And so I wonder today if we could gather and pray. As Lisa kind of plays this morning, I don't know who would join me. Who would step out and say, God, we need you. We need you. make use of the altar. You could make use of your pew. God, we come to you. We thank you. Thank you for these dear people as they continue to come. Father, more than anything, we need your grace. Father, we need your grace that we might follow your way. Because God, we're tempted to go astray on our own. Oh God, would you help us? Fathers, individuals, may we commit ourselves to follow after you. May we give our hearts, our lives to you wholly, that we might reflect the glory of God. God, may we as a church surrender and say, God, whatever it takes to get your glory out there, whatever it takes to honor you, God, whatever it takes to stay on mission, God, help us. Help us to stay faithful. Oh God, we need you. Because we understand today that in your presence, there's protection. In your presence, there's provision. In your presence is where your power is revealed to a lost world around us. God, thank you. Thank you. That we don't have to take the journey alone. God, would you bless these dear people? Would you help us stay faithful? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the promise of your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, would you remain standing as the worship team leads us in a closing song?
In Christ alone. That's the answer. In Christ alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, this gift of love and righteousness, sworn by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Commands my
just want to say thank you for one. Let's opening this conversation, but fellowship today. It's been great. Amen. And we're going to have a great time in back. I want to encourage you to sit with people you don't know. There's a lot of food back there. And any parting words you have for us, and then bless our food and our fellowship.
Wasn't it good to be here today?
Amen.
Did God touch your heart, speak to your heart?
Amen. You'll always do if you listen. You'll always do if you listen. All right, what we want you to do is stay in fellowship and eat with us. You say, well, I'm going over to the steakhouse and getting the triple decker steak and mash. Listen, there's better stuff than that out there. And it's free. Somebody fixed it for you, okay? So let's have a prayer for the food. And I'm going to ask you to go out that door, through the other doors, kind of swerve to the left a little bit, go down that side wall over that way, and go through the line and come back out and sit down someplace. Okay? All right. Father God, we thank you for the day you've given us. What a beautiful day it is. And though we face a lot of problems, there are strains in our life. There are fears in our lives. There's a day coming this Tuesday when we'll have a very significant thing to happen in our nation. And Lord, we ask that your will be done, no matter what it is, that we will praise you and thank you for all you do, because you know that we are right in the very palm of your hand. Nothing can change that. Not elections, not Tuesdays. Nothing can change that. So, Father God, we do ask you to guide us and lead us as a nation. Bless us. Now we ask you to be with us now. As we go together, fellowship together, we ask you to bless this food. Father, we know that there have been hours, labor put into this food. We ask you to bless those that made this food. Pray, Father God, that you would bless our fellowship now. For these things I ask in the highest name in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Go right that way.